Welcome to the B2B Business Podcast. Our guest today is Paul Ryder. Hello, Paul.
How you doing?
Hello, mate.
Owner of RPG Promotions, supplier of celebrities for sporting celebrities mainly.
Yep.
For talks, dinners, etc. Before we get into that and who you do and what you do, do you want to give us a brief introduction to yourself?
Yeah, most people would have seen me, been to an event, spoke to me. My name's Paul Ryder, run RPG Promotions, based mainly in the Midlands. Been doing it a good few years now. So I've been enjoying it, loving it. So yeah.
So what were you doing before? How did you come to be in promotion?
It's mad, actually. So I was working at a Spanish tile company called Porcenosa in Marston Green. I was there a good, I'm going to say, 12 to 15 years. I was there a long time. And, you know, I was just there, just factory working in the shop, serving people. And all of a sudden, I got an order come through, and it was Tommy Johnson. I thought, I only know one Tommy Johnson from that area. Can't be him, surely. So, like, and he was. So I picked his order, he's coming, and I got chatting to him.
Exchange numbers.
He had just left, he'd not long left yet. So his career had come to an end. So he was still local. And he came and picked his order up, got chatting to him. What are you doing now? Blah, blah, blah. As you do, selfie, autograph.
That's just him to you.
Yeah, obviously. And he... We just basically exchanged numbers, sorted him a good deal on his tours, obviously, as you do. And yeah, went from there, really. So we exchanged numbers, and then he texts me a couple of weeks later saying, can you get a discount on blah, blah. And I just got chatting, and I says, because obviously this sort of thing back then, it wasn't massive back then. The people done the after dinner speakers where you sit down in your tux and you listen to a half hour of someone chatting and having food, but I just do the Q&As, try and do without the food, because let's be honest, a lot of people go to these nights just to, you know, get tanked up and listen to some funny stories. So it weren't really a big thing then. So I just got talking to him about it, and he was my first one that I tried. So I done, my very first event was Tommy Johnson, Ian Taylor, and Mark Draper. So that was like, it was a villain, and Brian Little. So we'd done the 96. It was the 96 night when they won the cup. So yeah, that was how I got into it. So I left. I didn't leave Porcenosa straight away. I just tried to start doing little bits, and I then started doing the live music as well. So doing the bands at local areas, like, and I thought, sold tickets and paid out, and I thought, this is all right. I've still got like a few quid here. I could put another one on, and it basically, I've done it for about a year while working, and then it sort of just took off. It just went mental. And I started doing like, say, 10, 15 events a year, and compared to obviously now, like last year I'd done 138 events in a year, not just sporting, so sporting, the music, the kids' nights, the ladies' nights, I do all sorts. But yeah, that's how it started with them. Now them four were my first big sporting Q&A on. Yeah.
So how, for your first event, how did you sell that to the participants?
So Facebook, I'm all about social media is massive. So and what it is when people come to one event, and you guys have been, so when you come to one event, you enjoy it, you come back. And I try to do my events cheap. You know, I mean, I seen one event yesterday, funnily enough, with a celebrity, and I clicked on the link, and they wanted something like 230 quid a ticket. And I was like, 230 quid a ticket? And I think my most I've ever done one is 65 quid. That's with food, and that's with 10 former players in one night. But yeah, and sponsorships help massively. I mean, you've got to call on local businesses to get involved. They sponsor the night. They put a chunk of change in that kickstarts the night, like a deposit sort of thing for the act, so I can get the act in. And then it's just word of mouth then. So social media, they share it. Everyone shares it. People just click on links, buy tickets, and That's how it goes. But like, I have actually got to give a shout out to a few of the sponsors. So we've got DS Fitness, CPI, 1-3 Distribution, Assessi Blues, Garrison Coffee Company, and Jib Air Limited. There might be a few others, but I just can't think of them at the minute because I've done that many events. But without them, it would be very, very difficult. So
seems like it's quite labor intensive. So you, I know that you, for a fact, obviously, I know you go to every event.
Yeah.
Did it take up weeks and weeks to organise and to drum up?
I would say, so to do one event, I always give it, someone actually asked me the question the other day, how long do you need for an event? Because they wanted to put an event on. A couple of weeks. And I was like, nah. I says, you've got to give it 2 months. So if you want to put an event on, just think in 2 months, put the event on. You've got to give yourself that time to sell tickets. Because what you don't want to do is give yourself less time and then you're not selling the tickets and then you lose money. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, it's not, I've lost money on ones, I've made money on ones. So, but most of mine sell out because I give it that time scale to sell the event and the tickets are cheap enough. It's all about the cheap. A lot of the people that do these, the promoters, I'm not going to slag them all off, but they're greedy. So whereas I look at it, tickets, as long as the acts are paid and the ticket prices pay for that act. So 100 people in a room and an act's costing £1,000, right, £10 a ticket. I sell the room out, the act's paid. It's not a worry then for me. I won't worry because people are paid and I've got, obviously, I do charity raffles, auctions, stand-up auctions on the night as well. So, but yeah, that's how they work.
I feel like some of them are still aiming at the corporate crowd where you're aiming at the everyman.
The average Joe Blocks on the street that want to come and meet their heroes. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, like yourselves, for instance. Oh, you know, you love a certain player from back in the day. And then you see these people, these corporate companies that charge 200, 300 quid a ticket. People ain't got that money nowadays. They can't, you know, we're going through a mad crisis with money. People have not got that sort of money nowadays. So whereas I've had an act on and charged £30 a ticket. And then the day after he's doing a gig in another part of the world and they're charging £90 a ticket. And I'm like, well, you're the same fee, you're the same price. And their room's bigger than what I've got. So why are you charging that much? They kill themselves. I think they kill themselves. Just charge lower, get more people in. And then your next event, that'll sell because they'll come back.
You've seen this with the debacle, with the dynamic price, with the Oasis tickets, haven't you?
Promotion
brought into the spotlight. But like I say, price is key at the minute, isn't it? People just don't have the disposable income.
And a lot of them as well don't allow kids. Don't get me wrong, I allow kids at my events, but not, you know, young kids that are just going to run around because it's not that sort of event. But, you know, if you're 12, 13, you know, you might not. I had a young lad, I had a Villa night on, I had a young lad. He's only, I think he's 11. And I've got a player on. This kid wasn't even born when he was playing, but he loved it. Autograph, getting the book. Kids just love these sort of things. And if I was to charge £90 a ticket, like somebody else does, and the dad has got to pay for him and the son, that's expensive. That's very expensive. Whereas I would charge 15 quid a ticket and it's 30 quid. It's nothing really to bring their kid. The kids enjoyed the night out. The dad's had a few beers because his missus has let him out because he's took the son. Everyone's a winner.
Yeah. So for as long as you've been doing this now, 138 last year.
Yeah.
So you're talking, how long have you been doing it?
Oh, I've been doing it, events, about 8 years. I've been doing events. It started with obviously a different company that I had, and then obviously I changed the name to RPG then.
So that's got to be 500, 600, 700.
I would say I've done over 500 events in 8 years.
So all of a sudden you've gone from selling tiles, manufacturing tiles, you're now rubbing shoulders with ex-professional sports stars.
It's like I says to the wife the other day, if I ever lost my phone, I don't know what would happen because it's mad. I mean, I've got Kev Bagdell in there. Wow. I mean.
Yeah. Pete. Yeah, that's it, yeah. Exclusive.
So you say there, like you've done, we know that you've done a lot of local football nights, Blues, Villa, mega nights as well, multiple players. You've got Gascoigne, Rudder,
legend.
Right, Parler Allen, Brazil, last weekend.
Brilliant.
Move to the greatest that there's been so far.
That was the, I mean, they've all been very, very good, but I just think that night, that afternoon, sorry, was possibly the best one. Overall, for funniness, for the way the event went, was the best one I've ever done in 8 years.
Was it?
Yeah. It was. I mean, you were there. It was just brilliant from the first minute people got there. Busy, very, very busy. Good, great crowd. And we raised quite a bit for charity as well, so which is always good.
Yeah.
Sean's happy with the bar takings as well, isn't he?
I'm presuming that Sean Abraham is always happy with bar takings.
Yeah, of course he is.
So as part of this, obviously, it's probably with a heavy heart that you have to do it, but you also entertain your guests, obviously before and after when you book them in. So, with that in mind, who's been the most rewarding for extracurricular activities? Who's given you the biggest hangover?
The biggest hangover. You know what? Ruddock, I'll tell you a story about Razor. So I had Razor in Inkborough. We'd done one in Inkborough FC. And if you've ever been to Inkborough, it's a tiny village. It reminds me of Emmerdale. They've got one or two little pubs that hold probably 150 people. Now, we had this event at Inkborough FC. There was got to be about 180 people in there. Brilliant night, because Razor's one of the best.
Inkborough,
I think it's like Worcester Way, I think, that sort of direction. Razor's one of the best on the circuit. Really, really good. And we're there, like, and obviously the event had finished about 11 o'clock. So obviously me and Razor are staying. So we're staying in the boozer, the one boozer that's there, obviously above in the hotel. So we've gone back. Everybody's come back. They all know Razor's there. So they've all come back. And Razor, fair play to him, going around, photos, signing stuff for people. Brilliant. So obviously people started dwindling off. So me and Razor just sat at the table, just chatting away. He's drinking tequila rose. I'm like... So he's there and he's turned around to me and he's gone, I suppose we best get to bed because I've got to get up, have breakfast, and I've got a shoe. I've got another gig tomorrow. So on that, I've like, yeah. So I've drank, finished my food. I've looked at my watch and I'm like, we might as well just have breakfast, mate. It's 6:30. It was 6:30 in the morning. We just didn't realise. But I think that's more because we were having so much fun. He was brilliant. He's one of the best. I mean, I've worked with some brilliant ones. I mean, Dean Saunders, again, wicked, brilliant. Put him up in a hotel, obviously last minute. So he needed a hotel. And I thought, oh, I've got to get a hotel. Usually put him in where the wife works, nothing available. There must be something going on in the NEC. So I thought, right, booking.com, Kozel, signed. Booked him in a hotel in Kozel. Well, I thought it was a nice hotel. Looked nice, looked decent. To be fair, I would have stayed there.
Yeah.
So Sean has gone to pick him up. He's phoned me on the way to the venue. He went, Dino ain't happy with you, mate. I says, why? The hotel. I went, what's wrong with it? He went, wait till I get there, he'll tell you. So anyway, so he's gone in. Oh, he didn't know. Obviously, Dean Saunders, ex-Villa. Now, he's gone in this hotel. It's above a pub in Kozel, right? And he's walked in, and it's Birmingham City everywhere. Now, I didn't know that. It's Blues flags, Blues Scott, Blues everything. And he's walked in to a packed pub.
Oh, God.
And he's just got abused. He's got a barrage of abuse. So obviously he's come back and he didn't go back. He stayed somewhere else. We had to book him somewhere else. But yeah, but I've had like Razor Ruddocks, unreal. Gazat, I just love Gazat.
So getting back to the Razor thing, obviously the Macadine.
Oh, yeah. So we had Razor just after he'd had he'd lost all the weight.
Yeah.
So he was everywhere. And I get on with him. So
that's just before it went off, though, wasn't it? Because I remember he was on TalkSport the Monday after, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it went bananas.
Yeah, it went mental.
Yeah.
So we're there. We're doing this gig, and it's at the interval. So I've gone in. Speak to him. Got him a drink and whatnot. I'm in there chatting to him, and I've gone, do you fancy curry after? Because he's lost the weight. I'm not. And he's gone, yeah. This is a place just down the road, Bengal Palace. It's only 5 minutes away. Yeah, son. So the plan was me, Razor, and my staff. Little known to me, Razor went straight out on the mic, second half, called him on stage. Hello. Before we start, has anybody heard of Bengal Palace? And I was like, oh, God. He invited everyone, basically. So 1 o'clock in the morning. Now, it closes around that time. So we just got there just before about 60 to 80 people rocked up at Bengal Palace, mate. Their faces, they did not know what hit them. They were like, they didn't know what hit
them. He's still on form all night, though, but he's going to make him something
to spoon. He was doing some trick with a spell. I can't even remember what it was. But he's there. But so he's constantly
standing. He's just like going around.
Showing everybody.
He's been in character.
He didn't even order food, though. That's the thing. He came, invited everyone, and didn't eat. Just ate everyone else's. It was like mad. It was just surreal. But like, obviously, since then, I've took Bengal are loving it because obviously, Ray's has been there. We had Jermaine Pennant there. We had Heskey there. We've had a good few guests there. Like, so just waiting for royalties off them. That's all.
That's a nice knock on for the local economy, isn't it?
Yeah. They loved it. I just don't think they expected at 5 to 1 they close at 180 people going to rock up and order food.
But the phone people, they might actually get that way.
Oh, it was good.
Can you Gaza stories that you're allowed to tell?
Gaza, you know what? You've probably heard most of the Gaza stories, but I've got to say he's probably one of the easiest guys to work with. He's just brilliant. And I mean, like, and he's looking really well. He's just a genuinely nice bloke. So, I mean, I've had him probably 3 or 4 times now, Gaza, and every time sells out. Without a shadow of it. And people come back, it's Gaza.
It's a living legend, isn't it? There's not many people
iconic. Iconic. He's football like, legend. You look at football stars now that you can get to these events, he's the biggest. He's the draw, and he's just, his stories are funny. It's just everything about the bloke is I love him. I adore him. He's brilliant.
I remember just brilliant. Doing some, when I used to do some work with you, and I still do occasionally, and just sitting in that green room, like I was about PFI kind of player liaison, and I was just sitting next to him.
Just sitting next to him.
Showing me like pictures of the fish he'd caught in Malaysia and stuff, and I'm just like, oh yeah, I hate fishing. I love fishing that day. And he's like, it was a pinch me moment where I was like,
I'm saying, talking about fishing me, Gaza.
It's just random stuff, like, yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. Really good.
Another fish.
That's a good fish. Yeah. I don't know if fishing.
I would say to anyone, if they've never been to see Gaza, I mean, I've had before. I had in people saying, "Oh, this." No, don't listen to no one. Go because you're missing out. You are missing out. He's massive and he's a really good talker. And his story, it's like watching a comedian. The stories he tells, because it's Gaza, the stuff he's done.
Yeah.
I mean, the ostrich, we went to the zoo and hired an ostrich and took it to the training ground, didn't I? Took the, I think it was Middlesbrough, took the bus. I'm like, what? Only he could get away with it, that's the thing. But yeah, 100%, anyone not seeing Gaza, go and watch him.
So in relation to navigating the politics of local football, there are a lot of nights organised around here, Blues, Villa, etc. How do you find the landscape for cross-rival guests? Do you have any issue with
So obviously Tom Ross does a lot of my the comparing for the local clubs because he knows a lot of them. He knows he's good at what he does, Tom Ross.
Really good. Yeah.
Very good. So obviously it's quite funny when he compares a Villa night. Obviously he's a local Birmingham City legend and you've got the Villa. So that goes down very well because he just gets absolutely caned by the supporters. But having said that, there's never any bad animosity towards him. They all want selfies with him. You know, it's good
and
like
he can
that.
Hold his own,
yeah, and he does give it back. Mm. I mean, we had Alan Hutton the weekend and he compared it. I mean, Alan Hutton's never done one. That was the first time he done one and he was outstanding. Like a really good talker. Well, obviously Tom Ross, Al-Anon caned him. Absolutely caned. I mean, there was one, we had one event Tom Ross was doing. I can't remember the Villa player I had. So obviously Blues, we played, Blues had not long gone down. So the DJ, Jake, obviously he's a wind-up merchant himself and a big Villa fan. So obviously Tom Ross don't usually have walk-on music, but this one, it was the first one I did this year because the season, obviously Blues got relegated, Villa got the Champions League. So the DJ decided to give Tom a walk-on song on this one occasion. And obviously it was that down, down, going down, down, that. It was that.
Yeah,
so he's come out and he's like that. And then obviously the Villa lads come on and we played the the Champions League theme tune, but that just made the night because it was just harassing. They were just killing time. It was like the guest was comparing it for Tom Ross. He was asking him the questions. But it was really good. There's never, ever, ever been anything on towards to Tom Ross's line.
He's a local broadcasting legend, isn't he?
It as good as he gets, trust me.
Yeah.
He gives it as well.
Well, even in the green room when you had Clinton Morrison and Clan Donaldson.
Clinton Morrison is just a wind-up merchant anyway.
Even Tom Ross. I've just got that, aren't I?
Oh, it's brilliant. Clinton Morrison's very, very good. Yeah. Really. I mean, I've had a lot of people say to me, I don't really like him, blah, blah, blah. But they've only seen him on Sky Sports.
That can only be Villa fans.
Yeah. Yeah. But I've had a couple of Blues fans going, I don't like him on Sky Sport. Mm. Yeah, but it's a different atmosphere. You're watching something that's scripted.
Yeah.
These nights ain't scripted. So Clinton Morrison's very, very good. Mm. And he gives Tom Ross loads. I've had Clinton Morrison about four times. And every time. I had him in actually Inkbearer not long after Razor. And he just kills Tom Ross. Absolutely. And they're both Blues.
They're giving each other back, aren't
they? It's pretty really,
because
really good.
At the time, he was the man on the ground, wasn't he, Tom Ross? And obviously, Clinton was a bit of a... bit of a lad, he's a funny guy, Clinton. But it's funny about stories with all the Zulus and stuff, and how he's got in the Zulus. And
it was good. And the one story when they're all out in Broad Street in town, and they're all up there, like all the Blues lads, and he's up there in like, because a lot of people think, don't get me wrong, there's some fans out there that idiots, you know what I mean? They're like, take it a bit too far. But he says, like, he's been out and he's come across loads of Villa fans and they've all had photos of them, wanted photos of him and everything. I've got a guy that comes to, he's a Villa fan, and he comes to my Blues nights. He comes to my Blues nights. And I remember the once he came and we had Robert Hopkins on. And obviously he played for both, didn't he?
Yeah.
He played for Villa as well for a few times. And this guy brought a Villa shirt for him to sign. He never signed it. He went, I am not signing that. No chance. Off he tries it. Yeah, mate. The old boys are always good. It's like, again, going to the Blues nights, the Crazy Gang nights. So Mick Arthur, Tony Coton, Mark Dennis, Noel Blake, Hopkins, them nights are hilarious because back then, that's when football was football. No VAR, none of that.
Well, we had your night down here, wasn't it? For Dixon Ward.
Julian Dix. That was a good night.
Brilliant. Yeah.
But that era of footballers, where Julian there weren't rules, they just done it. I mean, the story of them two, when was it Julian Dix was ironing his shirt and Mark Ward says something and he put the iron on his back.
Yeah.
He says, and the iron mark was there for about 6 weeks. You couldn't get away with that nowadays.
Yeah. But you're saying it's completely disillusioned with football. Is that a running theme with the older footballers that football today, the modern game, kind of fell out of love with it? Yeah. So VAR and everything that goes with that. Yeah, Julian Dix was saying he doesn't like football anymore. He doesn't watch it.
It's like when the other thing about Mark Ward, when obviously he says the worst thing about it, he says, I'm an ex-footballer, high to my career. He says, I couldn't even get in the prison team. What? But yeah, I've had some great nights, some really, really good nights.
Any Mark Ward stories?
Probably none for this. He's another good bloke though. I've got him again. I've got him on the Mega Blues night because I do obviously Mega Blues nights. So we've done one and two. We've got the big Leyland Daff reunion, which has never been done before. Surprised the club haven't done it, but RPG doing it, so don't worry about it.
So we've got Sturridge back in the scene, isn't
it? We've got all of them apart from one who we're working on to come back, and we will have all of them here, which has never been done, ever been done. And then we've got the other Mega Blues night, which will be May, and that's with the Hard Men. So Coton, Harford, Dennis, Ward, Dix, Martin Cull, Alan Kirbishley, Noel Blake, Rob Hopkins. You won't want to mess with them, would you?
Nah. You want them on your back.
I'll tell you a funny story, actually, about Rob Hopkins. I had Rob Hopkins and Noel Blake on. So, obviously, message done before. And they went, we'll go to Sully Hall for a couple first, like. So they went Sully Hall. Oppo obviously met him up there. And Noel Blake's a big guy. Big guy, wore like a black trench coat for the night. So he's came to the event and said, hey lads, doing all right? Oppo had gone already. Blake, he's come up to me, he went, mate. I went, what? He went, He's walked in to the, I can't remember where he was in Sully Hill. He's walked in, he's come up to me. He says, I'm there going, all right, Upper. He says, all right, mate, I'm looking for my mate, big guy. Like, he thought he was the doorman. Yeah. Upper thought he was the doorman. Didn't realise who he was. Crazy, mate, crazy. But yeah, there's loads of, I mean, that's what I mean. People just need to come to the nights. It's not, you know, if it's sometimes, you don't, if you don't like the player or you don't fancy him, they surprise you.
Yeah.
Clinton Morrison surprised me. Someone surprised me. I had Alan Hutton massively surprised me. They've always got stories that no one has heard of. I mean, we had Dublin and Hendry together, and I thought, don't know how that's going to get down. But it was hilarious, like really funny. But people just got to come to the nights.
Is it harder to, obviously, Blues and Villa, you've got the fan base there. You do a lot of boxing, which you do quite well out of. Yeah. Is it harder to sell tickets for the boxing?
Boxing, yeah, boxing.
We went to Bellew, didn't we, here? Yeah. It's just brilliant.
Yeah, boxing's, it's a tough sell, which I find surprising because Birmingham's a massive boxing area. The thing I do get is, like, for instance, I've got Carl Froch here in a few weeks. Like, if boxing fans are Villa fans, they won't come because it's at Birmingham City, which I don't get. You know, you're not supporting the club. Mm. You know, you're coming to watch someone that you want to watch. Don't worry about where it is. But you do get that. So the boxing ones, they tend to be harder because they're more expensive to get these boxers in. They're a lot more.
And so, I suppose you're caught between getting a place big enough to fill it.
Yeah.
And then,
and it's the ticket. I'm very, like I say, I'm very wary on ticket prices. I look at what people can afford, what people would. What would I pay? That's how I look at it. Would I pay that price to go and watch this person? No. So I'm not going to put it at that price. Then would I pay this? Yeah. Well, that's the price I'm going to do it. Then I'll pay it. Most people would pay it. So with the boxers, you got to be careful because, like I said, the big books. I mean, Tony Bellew sold out. He was very, very good. Joe Calzaghe again sold out. So I've got three more boxers this year, starting this Friday. Actually, we've got Nigel Benn. I mean, you talk of legends. Is there anyone bigger? You know what I mean? So you got Nigel Benn, and then we got Cole Froch, and then we got Chantal Cameron. He's from obviously localish Northampton. Beat Katie Taylor.
Yeah.
So we've got her in December. They're the three boxing ones. But boxing, I do tend to, I need to push the boxing a lot more than I usually do the football. But this is what it is.
So we've normally talked to our guests about COVID as well.
Yeah.
What a wonderful time that was. Obviously, hospitality closing down completely. What did that do to the business plan, life in general?
So it's mad because I just started doing it around about a month before. I was working at a hospitality venue, so it was a double whammy for me. So the hospitality venue had to close, and then I couldn't do events anywhere. And the worst thing about it, I just started the company limited about 2 months before COVID hit, so I couldn't claim nothing either. So it was like a double whammy. So I didn't get no help, which I was like, on the flip, you know, these companies, these big companies that have been going years and years, multi-million pound companies, they were getting the help, but the little ones were struggling. And you don't, how many pubs closed during COVID?
Yeah, and hospitality was the first to go down and the last to come back, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it did kill it, but that's where I'm a very positive person, you see. So I took that and thought, nah, I ain't having it. I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. Once COVID's finished, I'll do something else. So during COVID, I was doing online raffles, online auctions, just to build the pot. So then when COVID finally, the first events we had after COVID was, rest in peace, bless him, Trevor Francis.
Yeah.
And that was the very first event after COVID. And I was a bit concerned because I thought, is it going to sell? Blah, blah, blah. But it was rammed. Did you come to that?
No.
Francis one?
No.
It was shocker. It was the first time we could actually sit people down next to you.
Yeah.
And so that was the flip side of it. Everyone wanted to get out. But that was another good night. And then 2 weeks after that, I had Frank Bruno again, just after COVID, and that sold out. So it had its bad, but then once COVID had finished, like you say, everyone just wanted to get back out. So the first five, six, seven events just went like that. Because everyone was like, I'm going because I need to get out. I need to sit with people.
So what advice would you give someone looking to get into promotional work, follow your footsteps, other than obviously don't step on my toes in
the
right
Yeah, just leave the Burberry Mary alone, can do it elsewhere. Do it, give it a go. It's like when I first started, I had a job, I had an income, and I took the plunge. And you've got, I'm a believer in try it. If it don't work, it don't work. Just don't worry about it. A lot of people nowadays, they're worried, aren't they? They're worried to take that jump. Oh, what if it don't work? Just don't worry about it. If it don't work, just go back to what you used to do. That's what I did. I took the plunge, and 8 years later, I'm sat here. Never thought I'd be doing podcasts. Never thought I'd have Paul Gascoigne, Neil Ruddock, Paul Merson's numbers in my phone. But I would do it. But a lot of these companies, they go big instantly. Don't go big instantly. Go small. Start small. Even a music one that costs you a few hundred quid. Build your pot. Build your kitty. Because the last thing you want is you put a massive event on, you blow all your money, you lose, it's the end of your company straight away. Start small. Build big. Easy.
You have a limited audience, I want you to begin with as well. So you obviously have got a name in the game to start.
Yeah, I've got the crowd now. I've got the followers.
Yeah.
So, like, I think between my social media platforms, I think RPG have got around about 9,500 followers, which isn't bad for a small company.
And they're loyal as well, aren't they? So when you put them out, they will share it, so the reach then goes beyond.
And a lot of people say if somebody else is putting an event on, the amount of messages I get, it's crazy, to be fair. So I got one the other day, actually. Someone's doing an event. It's not even close to me. It's close enough. It's like Wolverhampton way. And they snapped it. And they went, look what these are doing. Have you seen it? I ain't going to that. No, it's not RPG. I'm going to that. Which is fair way to them. But, you know, people do what they want to do. It doesn't bother me. If people want to go and watch someone else do it, you know, it is what it is. But I thrive under I'll have anyone come and try. Yeah, competition. I love competition. I always have. So anyone that wants to try and do it. And I've always been a believer in if there's someone out there that wants to give it a go, I'm approachable. Talk to me and say, what do you do? What do you think about doing this? What do you think? I'll help you out. I'll help anyone out.
Well, it's a big world, isn't it? There's enough work for everyone
out there. And the thing is, you get a lot of these bigger companies that... They want everything for themselves. And I mean, I've dealt with agents. I can't stand them. They I try and not go to an agent. Okay. Not for the simple fact is the fee goes up. It's just that it's hard work. Because I would rather go direct to someone. So if I've got a night on, for instance, and, you know, say I've got Ruddock on and Ruddock's running late, I have to phone the agent. The agent don't answer. What am I supposed to do then? Well, I'm stuck. So I deal direct.
Yeah.
Best thing. There's too many agents out there that are just out for themselves. They're not even interested in the act.
Yeah.
They just want their little bit of money. And don't get me wrong, it's anything between 200 and 500 quid just for putting someone on. You know what I mean? It's like, so I try and lose the age, but there's a lot of big companies out there that will try and kill the little ones like me. I've had three or four big ones try and destroy me, like put nights on. So I've had an act on, for instance, it's been booked. I won't mention it and I won't mention who, but I've had an act on, was putting it on in a venue, sold out, 350, one of my biggest it would have been. The agent got wind how quick it sold out, decided to put his act, because I didn't go through the agent, tried to put his act somewhere else. So the act had to do it because he's contracted to the agent. So I had to pull my event, I had to refund everybody, and I had to, and that was only 2 weeks before, so I had to change. What I did is I put an email out saying, right, I didn't say why, I just sent an email saying, unfortunately the act's cancelled, we've replaced him with these people, you can get a refund, not a problem, or if you still attend it, then you'll get 50% off your next ticket at this venue. Which, to be fair, it was probably 50-50. A lot wanted the refund because they're obviously not fans of the people I had to get in.
Yeah.
But it's like that's the sort of people you have to deal with. So I would say to someone, just be careful who you're trusting it.
So where do you see yourself in RPG in 10 years?
Ooh.
Was the word that you're going to go a bit more corporate-y?
I would love to go corporate-y. I would really like to go corporate. I think the thing you've got to worry about, I was having this conversation the other day, was with one of the footballers, actually, and he turned around, he asked the same question. He says, what would you do in 5 years, for instance, you're still going, you're still doing this. What are you going to do? Because you probably would have done everyone that's worth having. What do you do then? He says, because these players of today that are at the end of their careers, they won't be doing stuff like this. They'll have that much money. They won't need to do stuff like this. So where does it go then? Which is a great question. Because
you've saturated Blues, for example.
Yeah, you've used everyone. And then, you know, the likes of Stevie Gerrard, for instance, just say someone whose career's just ended, who's a multimillionaire. He don't want to do job. He don't want to do this, does he? Let's be honest. He ain't going to want to do stuff like this. So where does that leave these companies? Do we have to go back to the lads we've already had to keep going? So it's a tough one. If you're like me, you've been going a long time and you've done over 500-600 events, do you go back to having the same people? Because then you go back to having the same people, it doesn't sell, because I've seen him. So what I try to do now is look at the lads that finished their careers in like the late 90s, early noughties. So for instance, you know, your Angels, your Malbergs, your Villa, your Larsons, your Villa. So they're the big ones. And then you've got to look at the Blues. It's hard because I've done a lot of the Blues nights. So I've done a lot of the lads. Obviously, you'd have to go down probably the route. That's why I tend to go, like I've had Olivier Tebbeli. You come to that, didn't you? Tebbeli. I'll tell you a story about a Tebbeli night. So we had Tebbeli. Now, I didn't know he couldn't speak English when I booked him. He texts me, yes. So I thought, he could speak English. Perfect. Well, no, he couldn't. So for the whole 2 hours, everyone just sang his song all night. But you know what? I drafted Devlin and Michael Johnson in, not as guests, as watching as crowd, because obviously they'd not seen him for years. So I drafted Paul Devlin and Michael Johnson in, and they sat in the booth with me. And it's a good job I did, because they were answering the questions for him.
Wow.
But yeah, they just sang his song, one Tebbeli, two Tebbeli. For 2 hours, mate. But it was such a good night. He has a vineyard. He's got a massive, he sent me some bottles over, and they're like, they are good, to be fair. So I dropped him a text message, and I went, I got his, it was Insta. So I messaged him on Instagram. Fancy doing a Q&A night, mate. This will be the fee. It's for Blues fans. And he put back, yes, Paul. That was it. And I thought, he can type English, should he? He can speak English. Oh, no. He's broken. So the one, Tom Ross asked him a simple enough question. I don't know what it was. Yeah. And he looked at Tom and he went, for ages, Tom Ross went, anything? Anyway.
Oops.
No. So the song just started. The song just started, and that was it. We couldn't show everyone up. And then, like, the song would stop, and then Tom Ross would say, so, Olivier, who's been your best player of everything? And he's gone like that. And they just started singing the song, so he didn't have to answer it. So every time they asked the question, they just started singing the song. Michael Johnson was on the tables. It was a really, really good night, though. Really good night. And then the next day, Jono and Debs flew back with him to his vineyard.
Brilliant.
Yeah. But yeah, he's a really nice bloke. Well, I think he's a dunno. But no, he's a really nice bloke, to be fair. But it's just that was a very funny night.
That's the thing, cult hero, isn't it? Doesn't even matter if he doesn't speak English. Yeah. Yeah. Sing and clap with him for 2 hours.
That's all they did. Yeah. And he was and you know what? He keeps himself in shape.
Yeah.
Yeah, he keeps himself in shape, man. He could still play now, I reckon. Really good. It's the same with Alan Hutton. These footballers nowadays, they've got all the dietary requirements and that, so they're always going to be in shape. But yeah, it was a very, very good night.
Okay, just before we go then, you were talking about some upcoming guests. Sounds like you've got a pretty impressive roster. Who is it you've got coming up, and one of those?
So we've got Nigel Benn. this Friday. And then we have a brilliant comedy night. To be fair, the comedy night I've got on the 2nd, we've got like a Peter Kay and Lee Evans tribute night. It's sold out in 3 minutes. Fastest selling event, I think, ever.
That sounds sweaty.
I think even bigger than Oasis at Glastonbury. I think it just 3 minutes, it sold out.
Do that dynamic price.
Yeah. What the worst thing about it is, the Macadam holds around about 170 people, I reckon. So obviously between me and Sean selling tickets, we sold 210. So I don't ask where people are going to be sat. Ain't got a clue. So we've got Nigel Benn, then we've got that. And then we've got, we have a Bob Marley tribute night, the live band. And then Cole Frotch, Chantal Cameron. And we've got the very, very funny Frankie Allen doing a Christmas on the 27th of December. Tickets still available. But if you want to go to a comedy show and you're not woke, go to that, because okay, he's brilliant. And then obviously next year, I've delved into the brunches a lot, because the brunches are very good. So we've got a few reggae brunches, R&B brunches, and then we have obviously the Big Leyland Daff night, the Mega Blues night 3, and then obviously still working on bringing Gazza back, and other stars. I'm looking into rugby as well, because I think rugby might sell.
We go to sporting luncheon. Town every Christmas. It's always
rugby's,
rugby thing.
Yeah, rugby's about, rugby dog. Talk is supposed to be really good. But and obviously I'm talking to Ray Parler about doing another talk sport, but maybe add Cundy and O'Hara to make a 4.
That'd be good. That's a rascal honour.
Yeah, but someone said to me the other day when we had the talk sport one on Sunday, you should have added Gabby. And I went, the problem with that is Villa, so 50% of the crowd wouldn't come because they're Blues fans, so I can't. Whereas Cundy's Chelsea and O'Hara's Wolves, isn't it, in Tottenham?
Spurs, yeah.
So it doesn't really matter, but that would be a great lineup. And then obviously I'm working on the big Villa ones with Diangal, Malberg, and people like that. And obviously with all the big Villa ones, Dion Dublin will be comparing them because he sorted the night. So you're getting two players in one, really, because you've got the compare, who's Dion Dublin, who's the big Villa, ex-Villa, comparing the night with Angal, Malberg, Larson and players like that. But next year is going to be a big one next year, I think. And I'm going to go into a lot of the music. And I also, obviously, I'm on my third tour with Jake Sullivan, the singer from Dublin. So we've done two tours with him, sold out. He's just doing a third now for his tour of, I think it's Scotland, Wales, and then he's doing Nottingham, Manchester, and London, the Ministry. So that's the next tour, which is, I think the first one's end of November, it's the first date of it. So very good singer. So yeah, I'm going down the music thing, but obviously some massive, massive shows next year.
Sounds good, mate. Sound busy.
Yeah.
Trying to have a break somewhere in there as well.
I'll see what the missus wants to do.
Yeah, I see.
All right, brilliant. Well, thanks for your time, Stan.
No problem.
Thanks, mate.
Cheers.
Thank you.
See you later.